We're talking with Travis Meyer from News on 6. And Travis, let's talk a little bit about maybe 2013 and a little bit of a retrospect regarding weather as it's hit our agricultural producers. This time a year ago, we were just really in almost dire straits regarding drought, and we've gradually pushed it back at least a little bit.
Yeah. Hay supplies, you know, last year I was just nickel and diming the cows. I said, sorry, guys, have some protein, have this little bit of straw hay, and that's it. But, you know, this year it had changed a lot. One of the things I did notice right away, though, Ron, was that in the spring, and especially even during the summer when I was cutting hay, a lot of the prairie hay meadows, native prairie hay meadows, they weren't that good, when we got our first cutting. And obviously native grasses, you only want to cut one time a year. But we had about a 50%, I would say, drop-off or death of plants. I mean, there was gaps and holes, and that went in through Osage County, where, you know, a lot of hay-producing country around here. So the leftovers, to me, are still significant because the drought was so intense for so long that, I mean, even though we had second cuttings and the rain helped and, you know, fortunately a wheat crop was good and, you know, we've gone on and, you know, ranchers are able to survive and row crop folks are feeling okay. It's never really good to feel too good around here because of all the things that changed. But at least it's improved, but there's still leftover and hangover. A lot of people say, this was a great year. Well, it was a good year, and we're trying to heal back from some serious droughts.
And heal is the key there. I mean, you got to regenerate these pastures after the drought.
Yes, and that was something that, you know, I thought, oh, native grasses, they'll probably hang in there. And there were some folks I know that were cutting the native grasses twice a year, which is not necessarily a good thing from what I understand. And I said, wonder if that'll affect it or not. And sure enough, a lot of folks came back with that thought process. And, you know, and this year, you know, thank God that, you know, Bermuda grasses were able to come on secondary in this second part of the year. We had so much Johnson grass. It was kind of weird because of the way the wet year went through, and we saw that in so many fields. And wild oats in the beginning of the year in hay fields, it was like, that's not grass, and that's not too good, especially if you don't catch it in time. So from a standpoint of grazing and from, you know, and agriculture, I think overall was better with row crops because a lot more farmers weren't just shaking their head and throwing dust in the air. But, you know, as we go forward, too, it's going to be interesting to see what happens for this next year, because we spent, out of the 12 months so far this year, 9 of them have been normal or below normal temperatures. Compare that to the last 2 years when every month, minus one, I think it was, last year in 2012, was above normal. So, I mean, we hit a high point, and I don't know if we're really coming down, but it looks like we are. We've been doing a lot of research. Dick Farrow is one of the meteorologists with us at Channel 6, and he does a tremendous amount of research. I call him the professor because he just sits back there and grinds numbers back and forth. But, you know, the feeling is right now that we're kind of settling back down. And I know people in general say, well, started raining, yeah, that figures. But we're still kind of, jury's still out, though, if this is going to be a steady state thing that can get us into the spring and into next summer.
And the latest drought numbers are actually suggesting we're seeing some increase in drought in some of those western counties.
Yeah, and the west, you know, it's very frustrating because, you know, you get some parts of the state that have just been, you see water running over things and ponds and dams. And even close to where I live in southern Tulsa County, my ponds are still half full. And I can go 20 miles further south and their ponds were running over for a month or two. And western Oklahoma, I grew up in a very dry area in Nebraska. And I know what it's like and how droughty it gets. And, I mean, it's hard to break that. And out west, I don't like it. I don't like seeing that sitting out there at this time of year. And hopefully if things, though, go like they are now, which most of our computer models, most of our long-range predictions from the Climate Prediction Center are indicating we're getting more of a normal, little normalcy. There's still a little bit higher potential for drought in the Southwest, and also, and I'm talking about Southwest U.S., and also a little warmer than normal, which doesn't bode well for West Texas, Western Oklahoma that much. So that's still an issue, big concern, still praying about it.
I know a couple of models we've seen and been talked about that December may actually have been one of the colder months of this winter.
Yeah, so far. We're looking at some of the research, and Dick Farrow, in fact, we were just talking yesterday that this was the earliest, coldest cold wave we've ever had on records of over 100 years, which was interesting, especially when you combine that to the fact that, you know, 9 out of 12 months have been colder than normal. So, you know, we're headed in a direction that, you know, I don't like it in the winter chopping ice and trying to feed cattle extra hay, but if it ends up being more moisture in the spring and summer, I'll live with it.
Far as, you know, as you look into 2014, you know, any early indications in your mind of how we will, you know, weather the rest of this winter and then, you know, break into spring?
Well, there's a long-term company, or a long-term forecast company that does a lot of extended weather forecasts, and they've been pretty good on the looking ahead. But I go with a lot of the climate prediction models because we're still looking at ocean temperatures and currents, air currents caused by pretty much the ocean temperatures. When I was in college in the 70s and early 80s, it was that really wasn't, you know, part of the equation. Nobody really understood that very well. And with the advent of a lot more satellite infrared data, more buoys out in the oceans and ship reports and all that, I mean, we're a science community, obviously, now that's going crazy because of data. But what that has done for us is also given us now a perspective of why these jet streams are in the position they are. And everything is kind of pointing that it's going to stay cold with occasional waves of stormy weather here through the end of December. January looks to kind of quiet down a little bit, so we'll see if that tendency is there. Still, there's no real direction for El Nino or La Nina. And so between those two, it's still a neutral pattern. So we're not seeing anything that really makes us go one way or another. And that's one thing that I keep track of probably more personally than I do even on TV, just because it affects how I'm thinking about my pastures and everything else.
Yeah. Last question as far as the farm show itself. You're out looking from a rancher point of view. What's interesting out here to you?
Well, we just saw a drone fly overhead. Now, that was pretty weird. I've seen drones and about everything else, I guess, but I never expected drones really to be that big of a deal already in agriculture. But obviously, I don't get out maybe as much as I should for that point. And then the other thing is the technology that's changed on the tractors. I'm just stunned by that technology. I grew up... we had a lot of wheat fields in Nebraska. My dad's still farming up there, and he's kind of got a little bit more soybean and wheat and irrigated corn. It's just weird to look at tractors because you sit back. You know, I have tractors and stuff, but I don't look at the technology at the end. I don't buy brand new tractors. Let's put it that way. Yeah. And I don't buy big business ones. And to look at the technology and what's happening and how, you know, Baylor pretty much bails it and tells you when to start driving the tractor again. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me because that 5 years ago, that wasn't on the map. It was on the radar, but it wasn't on the map. And to see that now and to see where technology is going to take the future farmers of America, it's kind of weird because I don't know if they're going to be farming out of their living room or not, because I call them the good old days, but I tell you what, my back is hurting and my knees are too good, and it was all from hard labor, and this could help a lot of future farmers at least extend their lives a little bit better and quality of life too.